All right, so it was a fun weekend in the NFL. If you're a Packer fan, a Niner fan, a Titans fan, or a Kansas City Chief fan, I got to believe if you were at that Kansas City game, the amount of emotions that would have been pouring over you, how much money you spent when they were down 24-0, you probably wanted to run on the field and tackle Andy Reid and put him in a camel clutch at the 50-yard line. Like, if you paid like $1,500 to go and you're like, really? Really, Andy?
As opposed to the end of the game where I wanted to tackle Batman behind that glass.
Al's brother. And you wanted to give a handshake to Andy Reid, or Patrick Mahomes for that matter. And it was an epic collapse. A lot of people are pointing out, though, we've been comparing and contrasting different collapses.
They lost by 20.
They lost by 20, but Atlanta in the Super Bowl down 28-3 in the third quarter is way worse. Remember the New England Patriots?
I was just going to say, the Patriots, right?
Yeah, way worse of a choke job that will hang on them for a long, long time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That is a better comparison.
It's way worse, but that was ugly. Here's Marcellus Wiley from FS1, longtime NFLer. That Kansas City-Houston game, when you step up to the mic today on FS1, was your focus more on what Kansas City managed to accomplish or what Houston managed to choke away?
Yeah, I think it's a little more of Houston and what they gave away. I mean, what a prime opportunity. You're up 24-0, and I think the conversation starts right there, where you were up 21-0, and it was 4th-and-1 on the 13-yard line, and you line up in your offensive formation ready to run a play. But then you second-guess yourself, and you call a timeout. Then you send the field goal unit out there because, as Coach said after the game, Bill O'Brien says he didn't have a call ready for a 4th-and-1 after already lining up in offensive formation. I think it starts to snowball downhill from there. They lost their momentum. They lost their way. We could talk about the field goal, that opportunity. You could talk about them and the fake punt, the turnover off a kickoff. And it's just funny how momentum really is just isolated events. But because of the story that you will paint in your mind, that's what momentum is. You connect all those events, all those dots. They had bad momentum, man, and it's shifted so fast. Being on the road, being in Arrowhead, which is the loudest stadium I've ever played in, not the environment for you to come back from, especially when you squander a lead like that.
Tell me how Baltimore did that to me, Marcellus. I want to know. Because I told Brian, if I had $1 million, I would have said Baltimore is going to destroy Tennessee. Destroy. And they lost the game.
Badly.
And they lost the game. Yeah, man, I'm with you. I would have put the house up. I would have put the kids and the wife in the house up. Everything would have went. I believed that Baltimore was going to at least make the Super Bowl, and then it was going to get crunchy and maybe tight. But I was devastated, shocked. You know, you get the updates sometimes, or you just look at the score and you're like, there's no way. There's no way. You're watching this game and you're really having an out-of-body experience. As you're like, there's no way that it's 14-0. There's no way it's really 28-6. And you watch every step of the way to becoming that same score that you don't believe. What happened was they got out of sorts. I think the injury to Mark Ingram, the injury to Andrews coming in, and the fact that they lost a tight end at halftime all added up for them not having the same dominance at the line of scrimmage in a run game. And they lost their way. They lost their way of going about demonstrating their dominance. They were a team that imposed their will. And when they couldn't run the ball, they throw the ball 59 times. Even in a losing situation, Lamar Jackson, 59 passes. It's an interesting stat. Only Tom Brady has a winning percentage when he throws over 50 times. Every other quarterback is like a losing quarterback or maybe just average. But no one's a winner throwing the ball 50-plus times. And they asked the second-year player, Lamar Jackson, who's used to running the ball, setting up the pass to do that. They lost their way.
Well, do the Lamar Jackson doubters, who were real quiet through 16 games or 15 games, are they allowed to come out now and start beating their chest? I mean, where do you stand on the Lamar Jackson criticisms?
Yeah, I mean, they're allowed to do it because then it just gives us opportunity to point at them and realize how foolish they sound in these same moments. I just don't think that you can throw away what he's done over the course of a year away in one game. And people say, well, last year he looked horrible in the playoffs. Last year was a different system. Last year he wasn't with Greg Roman. Last year he came off the bench and saved their season. And last year he wasn't the thrower he is this year. Now, what evolved was his ability to be accurate. But he's still not elite level in throwing outside the numbers, outside the hashes. That's the evolution of his game in this system. You got to have complete confidence in him, have complete confidence in the system, but realize these are growing pains. And that's just what happened. So a team packed the box, and they packed the middle of the field, and they said, beat us on the edges with your arm. He wasn't able to do that, but next year, if he has the same level of improvement he had last year, oh, I think he's going to be able to master this situation.
Yeah, I think he's too good, too talented. I mean, you're always concerned about injury. That applies to every quarterback. But with someone who is so overly mobile, when you don't get it done in the playoffs and you got to roll it over again and get through 16 more regular season games, I guess you're playing with fire until you can get back to that point where you can prove it again. But I think the Ravens will do it again next year. They've got a ton of cap space, ton of picks. Everyone's under contract. But, you know,
Sean Watson's in the same boat. It's like that ultra mobile quarterback that can run and, you know, is a freak of nature. Guess who's out of the playoffs?
Yeah.
Both of them.
Both of them are out. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it's almost a life lesson how when you're trying to be innovative or just go against the grain, when everyone's zigging, you're zagging. You have to have not only insane amounts of ability, but a next level perseverance. Because what happens is whenever you try something new, of course there's going to be moments of failure. But if you abandon ship in those moments, you'll never see it through. This is just another situation. I remind people that Bill Walsh, the great, won two games his first year in the new West Coast style offense. And then back that up with a six-win season. If he would have abandoned ship in those moments, he would have never become Bill Walsh, who in his third year won the Super Bowl. So sometimes you just got to stay the course, brother.
With Marcellus Wiley, well, you talk about bucking the trend. That's Tennessee right now. Like, they had a quarterback that threw for 88 yards. 88 yards on the road, and they demolished them. And, you know, no one wants to talk about running backs. No one believes in the running back. But here comes Derrick Henry, with 195 rushing yards. He throws for a touchdown on Saturday night. And this Vrabel team down in Tennessee, they are mean, they are nasty, and they want to get after it in the trenches. And they are only the third team since 1970 in the playoffs to beat the number one ranked scoring offense, Baltimore, and the number one scoring defense, the New England Patriots. The previous two teams to do that won the Super Bowl. And, man, those are stats. And now they got to deal with Mahomes, but I'm not sleeping on Tennessee, man. Can they keep that meanness going next weekend?
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't think they keep it going. I think it's definitely going to be a tough ball game for Kansas City. But they just have too many weapons in Kansas City. You can't double everyone, and it's going to be tough. Look, the game is going to be shortened. The game is going to be physical because of the way that Tennessee plays. But let's remind ourselves that if you look at Tennessee, that formula for success is going to be very difficult to do it against a team that can score at will. So they're going to need more from Tannehill. And I don't know necessarily if he's ready to step up and have his breakout performance in the AFC Championship game. And as you mentioned, the two games before, he hadn't even eclipsed 100 yards passing.
Right.
So complete dominance with the run game, but not a balanced offense right now. And I think that's just going to play into the Chiefs' hands. Tennessee's been amazing, and it's been good to watch. And Derrick Henry deserves every dollar he's going to get this offseason, but I think they come up short.
With Marcellus Wiley, the Packers end up winning by 5. But for me, if it wasn't for Russell Wilson, they win that game by 20, maybe 30. I thought the Packers were the better team on both sides of the ball. Russell Wilson is the most frustrating player to play against if you're a fan. In this case, I'm a fan of the Packers because he's so elusive and he's so smart. No one slides like Russell Wilson. He never allows you to get a lick on him, ever. He's brilliant. but I like the Packers game a lot. I thought they deserved to win. I think they should have won bigger than that if it weren't for Wilson. How did you feel about the Packers last night?
Yeah, they look good. I mean, it's really almost the balance of their running game, which has been great. And then you talk about Aaron Rodgers still being the great. So just his presence alone scares the defense into calls and into defenses and coverages that you don't truly desire, which opens up the running game. But Aaron hasn't put up his best numbers, but he's still the ultimate threat at that position. He threw a few darts, continued some drives, and was clutch late game. So you got to feel good about them, but then you have to realize now they have to take this show on the road again to Santa Clara. And last time they were up there, they got spanked 37-8, and Aaron Rodgers had 104 Ryan Tannehill yards. That's not good right there.
No.
I don't see how they close the gap, and that's my issue. You already went out there with your game plan. It was trash. Are you going to remix that game plan to a point where you go out there and try it in his first iteration in the playoffs, NFC Championship game, as good as San Francisco looks? I think they closed the gap on the score, but they still lose out there in Santa Clara.
Great stuff, buddy. Enjoy next week. We'll break it down next Monday.
All right, guys. Take care up there.
You got it. There's Marcellus Wiley, our NFL analyst, longtime NFLer from FS1. Not what I want to hear, but I can't fight it. I mean, the Niners are they're unbelievable. Like, they dominated Minnesota.
Jimmy Gorgeous.
He only threw the ball 11 times. They ran the ball. That's all they did. They ran the ball, and that front four, front seven is dominant for the Niners. It's not going to be easy for the Packers next week. We'll tee that up as we move on throughout the week.
Jimmy Gorgeous knows over anybody. He watched it. Right?
About his defense and how good
they are? He's watched it. Like, in New England, like, when he was a backup, it's like he's
watched winning.
He just sat there and watched it. He has a message in that locker room that everybody should listen to.
Well, that game on Saturday was Brady in 03-04. Not dominant, not throwing a ton, makes the right throws.
10 yards.
Doesn't turn the ball over, just does his thing, let the defense, you know, perform, run game perform, coaching perform. That's what it looked like to me.